I got up this morning and I thought, oh, Joe's preaching. And I want to share something about Joe that blesses me. Every Monday morning, I come to pray. Sometimes Tim comes to pray. And Joe is in here before the time. And he is pacing around the room praying. And then I come in and join him and pace with him too. And we don't hardly communicate. But we are here. Tim comes in. And we are engaging God. And it's just something with Joe. He's there early. Engaging God.
And I felt like the Lord impressed me this morning, Joe, that your faithfulness has earned you authority. And you have giftings, and people often minister by their giftings, but I believe that you're coming into a time in your life where God is going to be moving supernaturally with signs and wonders because of the authority that he's given you, that's an earned authority for faithfulness. So we look forward to hearing what the Lord's given you today. So would you honor Joe as he comes to give us the word?
Thank you.
Okay, well, everybody, have a good day. See you next week. Enjoy your lunch. I think we said enough for one day, right? Okay, so how good is God? How good is God? Sorry, I got a whole bunch of little notes here. God's been speaking to me this, that, and the other thing, and we'll see where he takes us with all of it. It's nice to get confirmation from God when you're going to speak, because, I sit and I keep praying on it, and what do you want me to talk about? What do you want to talk about? And I'll tell you, 10 times out of 10, I say, really? You really want me to talk about that? But when you follow what the Lord wants, then it works out the way it's supposed to. But it's nice to get confirmation. So during transition, Bill was talking about forgiveness, and that's exactly what I'm going to preach on today is forgiveness. I might go a little beyond what you normally think about forgiveness, though, and where it can take you in other areas in your life where forgiveness can be, besides the basic right-in-your-face forgiveness. So I want to share one of my struggles with you, because I think it's important that you know that I've gone through that walk of forgiveness. So I think that's why God gives us authority to speak on different topics and different things, because we've experienced them and we can talk about the reality of what it is and not just out of book knowledge, but out of a living experience. And so I'm going to make it brief, but I think you'll understand. So when I was a child, I was brought up in a very strange situation. As I grew up, I had two parents and three sisters. One of the parents, the father was never around because they didn't get along at all. So the father was just always, he lived out of the house. He lived in the back room. It was not a good relationship between those two people. And then I had these three sisters. The other thing that happened during all that time was one of my sister's husbands used to always beat on me for some reason. I could never figure out why he in particular always took the opportunity to smack me, to do whatever, to physically abuse me whenever he got the opportunity, to the point where I actually complained about it. But nothing ever happened about it because it was like, well, if you're doing something wrong, our family believed in corporal punishment. So, it was like you got it everywhere. But with the parents, it was a little different. You got beat on the butt most of the time with a strap or something as opposed to getting slammed upside the head, which was the other situation. And the other thing that I grew up with was a feeling of not belonging. I used to watch other people in my family, my sisters, get stuff. You know, in particular, I remember when the youngest of the three turned 16, she got a car. And we didn't come from a very well-off family, but for some reason, this all worked out where she got a car. I used to get hand-me-down notebooks, stuff like that. When I asked for stuff, it was like, I don't have the money. We can't afford that. So anyways, I got a job as I got older. I started working when I was like 14 years old. I used to work with a guy landscaping, putting in new lawns and stuff, and somehow became a little independent. I had some money in my pocket. Then I got a job at a luncheonette when I was 16, and that kind of like gave me this opening because I started doing things like saying, oh, I'm working tonight after school, but I wasn't working. I was just getting away because I didn't want to be there. So one night I came home, and my mother meets me at the door and starts smacking me upside the head. And, you know, I went down there and you weren't there. What's going on? What are you doing? You know, and I'm like, and then the youngest sister is behind her going, you don't belong here anyway, so why don't you just do what you're supposed to be doing? Because you don't belong here. Well, it was funny because my mother turned around and smacked her. And she goes, I told you never to say anything about that. And I'm like, oh, something's up. I'm not dumb. Something's up. Well, there was also this other thing that used to go on in the family is that when she couldn't handle me, she'd send me to my sister Joan's house, who was married to the guy who used to hit on me all the time. And that was constant. I never got sent to Barbara's house, and Patty lived home, so it didn't matter. But it was always to Joan's house. So I get to Joan's house that night because this was like an immediate, you know, send you over there. And I sat down, I said, you got to tell me what's going on. I said, because, you know, something's up. I know something's up. Tell me what's going on. She says to me, I'm really your mother. I'm like, okay. So these are really my sisters and my brother. I got, you know, four sisters and a brother all of a sudden. I got a new mother all of a sudden. It was like, phew. So what happens with all of that when you get into that? So I spent a year with her, supposedly being her son, and it just never got any better. It was horrible. 17 years old, I moved out of the house. Finished my last year of high school on my own, working at the restaurant. I worked at the taxi cab station in the middle of the night taking calls, and finished my last year of high school. I really don't know whatever possessed me to even finish school at that point because, you know, but yet for some reason I had this thing of, you know, you got one more year, finish your year, working two part-time jobs. And also my mother, who is really my grandmother now, so was chasing me around town. She'd find out where I lived and then she'd go yell at the proprietor of the place where I'm living that I'm underage and why are you giving him a room and I get kicked out and I'd have to go find another place to live. Well, so this happened until I was 18 years old and graduated from high school. So needless to say, I grew up with a lot of rejection and I grew up with a lot of hatred and I grew up with a lot of ill feelings toward other people. And it was a whole group of people. I mean, it wasn't like one person here. You know, first there's my grandmother, you know, who I always had something because I never got what everybody else got and I wondered why. Then there's my mother for rejecting me. And then there's my mother because she took me in and it was worse than it even was before that. Then there's her husband who used to hit me all the time. You know, so I'm like, you know, half my family, I'm like, you guys are crazy. And move out on my own and do what I did, and went into the Army and came back home. So for years, I suffered with this rejection, and I suffered with this ill feelings toward all these people. But yet, something in me, I used to always go back to them because it was my family. And I always hoped things would get better, and I'd go back. And I tried to, you know, relate with them and have a relationship with them, and it'd be the same old thing. Something would happen that they would turn around and reject me again. And I got to tell you, this happened. This has happened all my life. So this is not something that just like stopped at some point. When my grandmother died 6 years ago, the same thing happened. I had Patty, the younger sister, come up to me and told me, "You don't belong here. You're not her son." Now, she basically raised me, but yet here it is, like all of a sudden this is all coming back up again. "You're not her son," blah, blah, blah. You know, it was like, but at that point, I didn't care anymore. So forgiveness. It took me a lot of prayer. It took me a lot of time to really forgive them in here, not in here. But it's got to start here, and it's got to start with you opening up your mouth and asking God, saying, "I forgive them, I forgive them, I forgive them." But also counteracting the attacks that are going to come from Satan, because he knows your weakness. Because in my heart, I always wanted a family. And that's why I always constantly went back, because for some reason, I wanted family. I'm a family kind of person, I guess. You know, even though I didn't have one, for something in me kept wanting to go back and have family. And every time I'd go back, something had happened. So forgiveness was kind of hard, but then it would be like you would pray that you forgive them, and a couple months down the road, you'd be having all these thoughts about what they did to you wrong and how they abused you, and, you know, my life would be so much different if they didn't do that. If I was raised like this, my life would have been so much different, which if anybody thinks that, you really need to drop that. Because there comes a point in your life where you're responsible for yourself. No matter what your parents did, or your grandparents, or your relatives, or your siblings, there comes a point where you are responsible for you. And you need to put that aside and take control of your life with God and make your life what God intended it to be in spite of what might happen to you. And there's no excuse. You can't sit there and say, "I was raised this way, and this is why I'm this way, and this is why my life went this way." Because no, because you got control of it. And I went the rough road, so I can speak on it. And then I got the good road. So I know the difference between taking the rough road and blaming everybody else for what's wrong in my life, and then finally grabbing it and taking control and say, "No, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm going to live a different life, and I'm going to be what I can be." So I don't want you to get the impression that there's an excuse here, because there isn't an excuse. So anyways, I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray, and I'd keep getting attacked, and I would pray, and I would keep getting attacked, and I would pray. And this is what's going to happen. See, this is trials and tribulations. Doesn't James say we're going to have trials and tribulations? Well, these are the trials and tribulations, some of them, for some people, that you're going to go through. But I kept at it. I kept persevering. And I said, "I forgive this woman. I forgive this man. I forgive everybody in my family." And I kept at it until one day a peace finally hit me inside of here, that no matter what, I still had that peace. No matter what happened, no matter what anybody said, when my sister was really my aunt. Anyways, when we were sitting outside my grandmother's room when she was literally dying in the hospital, and she told me that "You're not her son, you're not part of her family," I had peace. Because you know what? It didn't matter. Because she's the one that has the problem, not me. I don't have the problem. I know what my grandmother's name was, Sybil. I know what Sybil was to me. I knew who she was. I actually, when I first came to the Lord, I actually went over to her house and sat with her and asked her forgiveness for the way I acted as a rebellious kid. I didn't blame her because I was rebellious. I asked forgiveness because I was rebellious. Because you know what? I had a home. I had food. I had clothing. I had the necessities of life. There's a lot of kids that don't. There's a lot of kids that don't have anybody. Latchkey kids, kids that have parents that are drug addicts, that are abusing them all kinds of different ways. I didn't have to go through any of that. I went through what I went through, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But anyways, I did wrong. Because somebody else did wrong doesn't mean I can do wrong. So I actually sat with her and asked, and I sat with my mother and did that, and other people in my family. I sat with them and just said, forgive me for what I did when I was young. So see, what happens is people, me and my wife worked in a sober house for a while, a female sober house. It was like 99.9% of the women in there were abused by their relatives. 99.9% of them would not forgive them. And here we're having a Bible study. We're trying to lead them to the Lord. We're trying to show them a better life. But every time we got down to the basics, you need to forgive them. They don't deserve it. Well, they're right. They don't deserve it. They abused you. They sexually abused you. They physically abused you. They did horrible things to you. We mentored a girl for 10 years that was raped by her brothers and her father, and her mother never did anything about it. 10 years, and she still wouldn't forgive. She accepted the Lord into her heart. She was baptized. We walked her through everything, but she would not forgive her father and her brothers for what they did. And she could never understand that the forgiveness was not about them. It was about her. Because when you don't forgive somebody, you have spiritually attached yourself to them. You are walking around with baggage that you don't need to walk around with. This has nothing to do with them. Their consequences will be their consequences no matter what. God is the one who consequences people, not us. Right? That's what the Bible says. So it's not up to us. It's only up to us to do what the Word says for us to do. So let's look at what the Word says for us to do. In John 20:23, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." Who's forgiving who here? This isn't Jesus doing this. Who's doing this? The disciples. He's telling the disciples they can go and forgive people their sins. Who are we? Are we not disciples? Are we not priests? We have that same power that we can sit with somebody, we can hear what's going on in their life, we can connect with them, and we can forgive them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Wow, that's a lot of power. And I don't think I could ever go the second part and not forgive them. In Matthew 6:14, For if you forgive others their trespasses, and this is why I wouldn't be able to do it, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why did he die for us? He died so that our sins will be forgiven, so that our trespasses will be forgiven. But what does that say directly? It says if we do not forgive other trespasses, then we will not be forgiven our trespasses. So how can we have a relationship with God? How can we have a relationship with Jesus if we're harboring resent and malice toward other people and not forgiving them and not bringing ourselves before the Lord and asking forgiveness for our unforgiveness and asking for his help through the Holy Spirit to forgive others? This isn't easy. This is not easy. Nobody's saying it's easy, but it's essential. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. This is direct, essential Christian life to forgive others. In Luke it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, that what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return." How often have we given something to somebody? Lent money to somebody, gave them something, never got it back, and hold resentment and talk about them and say things about them because they did that, because we're hurt. But that's not what this says. This says we're just supposed to love them. We're supposed to let it go. "And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." So I have a thing about taking verses out of context and just using them for something. And I've heard this verse, the last verse I just said, used by itself so many times in relation to other things. But the relation here to that verse is about forgiveness. It's about loving others. It's about not holding grudges. It's about if you give money to somebody and they don't give it back to you, oh well, it's God's money. Right? Don't we say this is all God's money? Don't we say that everything we have belongs to God? But yet, if we lend some money out to somebody, all of a sudden it's my money? You didn't give me my money back? No, you didn't give God back his money, and he's the one that's going to take care of it because it's all his. So there's really no reason for me to be attached to that situation at all. The word forgive, I hope I say this right, apaleo, is to free fully, relieve, release, dismiss, pardon, let go, put away. To loose his bonds and bid him depart. For the bonds are the bonds that are on you. Do you really want to be bonded to somebody that hurts you? you really want to be bonded to somebody that is going to drag you down? But you know what? That's just one aspect of this whole thing. I'd like to touch on marriage. God gave me this morning about this, about touching on marriage. So often in marriage, we have confrontation. I mean, let's face it, you know, two people are together. They have different ideas. You got things you got to do, things that got to be taken care of. You got one idea. My wife's got another idea. You sit down, you talk about it. Sometimes it gets a little heated. We're all human. I mean, let's be serious. We are human. Things come up in our lives. Things happen between us. And sometimes they go even a little farther. Sometimes we get divorced. We break up. We separate. We do things. But you see, what happens is, what I see in that whole picture of marriage when that happens is because we're not forgiving to each other and we're not respectful of each other. Because I have an opinion and my wife has an opinion. And I have to respect her opinion and hopefully she respects my opinion. And hopefully we'll sit down and if we're not in agreement, we'll pray to the Lord. And we'll come back together again and come back with what the Lord gives us and put it in his hands. But so often we walk around with that feeling in us, you know, like she doesn't care about me, he doesn't care about me, all he wants is his way, whatever he wants. But you know what, that's no good. That doesn't help us at all. We just need to forgive each other. I don't even know how to explain how this works. Okay, so I'm going to try to explain this as how I see it, all right? So I hope my wife doesn't mind that I just... She's going to turn around and walk out. So say my wife says something to me that offends me and upsets me, right? Then I say something back to her that offends her and upsets her because she just said something to me. So what is our initial reaction to that? When somebody says something to me bad, I'm right there ready to say something back bad to them, right? You know, you want to defend yourself, okay? So we go this route. She says something, I say something. She says something, I say something. Then we walk away, and wow. Well, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to ask forgiveness right off the bat. But you know something? This is what I see in that. Is by asking forgiveness from her for what I did, I'm giving her forgiveness also. It may sound a little weird, but if I wasn't forgiving of her from my heart, how could I come to her and ask her for forgiveness for what I did wrong? I really couldn't do that in a good heart, in a good spirit. So in other words, if I'm just mouthing it, just to get it over with and just to say, hey, you know, I'm sorry I did that, you know, that's kind of like worthless. There's no love involved in that, okay? But if I come to her lovingly and I just say, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to get into that with you, please forgive me for what I did, I feel I'm automatically forgiving her because I'm coming to her lovingly and wanting this thing to be gone between us. So did you ever think of that, how apologizing to somebody can actually be a way of forgiving them? Because you're putting them first. And you're saying, whatever you did to me doesn't matter. Whatever you did to me, I'm not going to hold as an account against you. I just need your forgiveness so we can be right. Now, if married couples did that all the time, if somebody in the situation did that, how much nicer would relationships be, right? Instead of walking around with a grudge, with feeling like, oh man, they did this, you know? No, just, you know what? Just come with your love for that person and just give it to them. How about driving down the road? How unforgiving are we on the road? And I am totally one that does this. Somebody cuts in front of you. Do you forgive them? What are you doing up there? Right? But you see, as I was studying up on this, as I was looking at all of this, these are all things that really don't help us, okay? They don't help us when we do things like that. When I'm calling the guy in front of me a jerk for cutting in front of me, what good is that? What does that do to help me? It doesn't do anything to help me. So where do I get that? Let's go to Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, we're going to see where this brings us. If I can find it, we're going to go there. Okay, come on. All right, what's going on here? So, how many times in our life have we been in a situation where we're totally going against something or somebody because we just don't like what they did and we're saying something against them and we're demeaning them? You see, it really doesn't matter what somebody else does. The only thing that matters is what we do. It doesn't matter if somebody cuts me off. It doesn't matter if somebody gives me the bird. It doesn't matter if somebody yells and screams at me. It doesn't matter at all. Because the only thing that's going to matter is how do I react, which I should never react. It's how do I respond. Because responding takes a little thought. Reacting is just from the gut. So how do I respond when somebody is like that? We're supposed to respond lovingly, kindly. Did you ever have a bad waitress in a restaurant? And you know what? I've tried this. Have a bad waitress in a restaurant and you're kind to them. How are you today? You can even go to the point if you see that they're having a bad day or whatever, you can ask them, geez, are things going bad for you today? Maybe you can pray for them. Instead of sitting there going, man, she is one lousy waitress, man. I can't wait to get out of here. You think I got to leave her a tip? I ain't leaving her no tip, right? You know, it's all attitude. And you know what this all works for? This all works for your own peace. It just keeps your own peace, because the more aggravation you let into your life, the less peace you have. But when you don't let that aggravation into your life, when you work it, you know, we have to work at this stuff. You know, that's another thing that really bugs me is when people talk about works. Okay? No, we don't need works for salvation. But we sure do need to work at who we are and what we are. We need to put something into it. The Bible has got over 300 commands just in the New Testament. Commands. It's not like, do you want to or don't you? You know, well, maybe think about doing this. No, they're commands. What you're supposed to be doing. Work out your salvation, it says. I mean, love one another. It doesn't ask you to. It says, love one another. You have to work at that. It doesn't come automatically. It doesn't just happen. No, you have to work at it. There's people in your life, and sometimes they're there to make you better. We all heard the iron sharpens iron, right? Sometimes they're there to make you better. But there's always people in our life that we need to give forgiveness to. Constantly sometimes. But it only works for our good. If people could understand, you're not letting anybody off the hook. The only person you're letting off the hook is yourself. The only one you're freeing is yourself. Don't you want to be free? I do. Okay, so in Ephesians 4, 20, let's try to start at 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, there's a lot of anger that comes from unforgiveness. Matter of fact, unforgiveness and anger walk hand in hand. Because you're usually unforgiving to somebody because you're angry at that person for something they did to you. Whether it be the guy that cut you off, the person that told you something that you don't like, or the person that raised you in a way that just wasn't well. So anger walks hand in hand with it. And give no opportunity to the devil. Who's going to come at you with all of this? The devil's going to come at you. He's going to want to keep you in a place where you're angry and unforgiving at all times. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Now he's talking about a person that's a thief. Literally about a person that's a thief, and let them labor instead of thieving. That he may have something to share with anyone in need. That's a whole nother sermon. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And that is the key that I'm looking for. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. So if you're bad-mouthing somebody, what's going on? Is that in line with what I just read? If you're calling somebody a jerk, if you're screaming at somebody down the road, or if you're screaming at your spouse, or if you're screaming at your kids, or if you're having arguments with your family all the time because you don't like the way that's going on, does that follow in line with what the Lord's saying here in this passage here? No, it doesn't. Now, the only thing I want to say about forgiveness and about people is you don't have to be a doormat, okay? Because there is situations, and I live in that situation with my family, because one thing I learned by going back and going back and going back is that I just got pounded and pounded and pounded. So I don't go back anymore. There's no reason for me to go back anymore. You know, I tried reconciliation. I forgave them. I asked them for forgiveness. I tried to reconcile. I did all the things that I could possibly do. I will not be a doormat. I will not go back and have them walk all over me, stamp on me, and treat me ill anymore. You don't have to do that. So forgiveness doesn't mean that you take abuse. Forgiveness means you just release yourself from that person. You don't have to talk to them for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is release yourself from them. And if they're going to abuse you, then knock the dust off your feet and move on. So don't take this as you have to do anything more than forgive them, that you have to put up with their abuse, because you don't. I don't talk to three quarters of my family because every time I get around them, I get abused. There's no reason for me to do that. I still love them. If I see them on the street, I say hello to them. I hug them. How you doing? How's everything going? I will not go to a family function because every time we went, both me and my wife have been abused. There's no reason for me to do that. There's no reason for me to subject myself or my wife to that situation. All right? So doesn't go any farther than you just getting forgiveness out of the way, releasing yourself from that person, and then moving on in your life. Reconciliation is always a good thing, and we should always work toward reconciliation. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If you did your part, it's on them. Amen? All right. Thank you very much. That's all I got to say about forgiveness today. If anybody needs prayer, there will be people up front to pray for you. And I just hope you have a great day. And I'd like to end with a prayer. Is that okay? Okay. So, Lord, I just feel in my heart that unforgiveness is an essential part of our lives, that we need to work against it, and we need to have forgiveness, and we need to work against unforgiveness. So, Lord, I pray for every person in this room right now that you would help them to search their hearts and that you would help them, Lord, to have forgiveness for anybody that's hurt them in their lives, for anybody that has come against them, for anybody that has demeaned them, for anybody that has abused them and neglected them and talked against them, Lord. I pray that you would help them come to the place of true, loving forgiveness, that you would help them to walk through that process, Lord, and experience your peace and your goodness and your glory, because your word says you forgive us and we need to forgive also. So help us, Lord, to walk in that realm of forgiveness with you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit right now and just guide us through this walk, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Danielle and I took a consensus that we really feel, Joe, that you should be laying hands on people because you're carrying the authority to do this. And we are richly blessed. I have never heard you preach like that in my life, Joe. It was incredible. We thank you.
He needed a double introduction because you gave us both barrels. Double portion of wisdom. Thank you, Joe. Come and get some prayer, guys. Amen.